It is a pleasure and honor to be here tonight, to be able to speak. I'm very excited to have this opportunity once again, and I thank you all for being here with us tonight. I'm very appreciative to the Henderson elders for giving us the opportunity to do this, and I'm always excited to be able to do this. So thank you so much for letting me be a part of your series this semester. If you were to ask me when I was a kid, what's your favorite movie, Sam? I would have probably said Finding Nemo. I absolutely love that movie. I still do to this day. It is one of my favorite movies because it's something I grew up on. But now I love it so much because it has such a great story. The story of a father who has lost all of his children, even though they're fish. A father who's lost all of his children and his wife, and he has this one that he wants to protect. This one who he loves so dearly. And then that son is stolen away from him by just people who think it's another fish in the sea. And he searches far and wide. He goes on this odyssey very far away, probably about 1,000 miles from his home, to find and rescue his son. And in all that, obviously the movie is called Finding Nemo, so it's one of those movies where the name is a spoiler. So he finds Nemo, and at the end of the movie, they are embracing, finally, back in the ocean together. But then, right after that, they're in this school of fish. And this school of fish starts going the other way and says, "Run away, run away, get away!" And then you see the net. And the net comes and starts to swallow up all the fish that are around them. And they fill up this net and it's just bulging with all these fish. And you see right there at the edge, unable to get out, is their friend Dory. And Nemo, who has been in harm's way this whole movie, about to be given to Darla, you know, who would kill him. Because she's so reckless with her pet fish. He's like, "We need to save her. Let's go in there and let's get her out." And Marlon's like, no, I'm not going to lose you again. I can't do that. He says, "Dad, I'm going in there. And I'm going to save her. And how we're going to do it is we're going to tell all these fish in this net to swim down." And so Marlon goes around and tells all the fish on the outside, "Everybody swim down." And Nemo goes in there and tells Dory, "We've got to tell everybody to swim down." And so they start swimming down, everyone together. And just as soon as the net is starting to come up above the water, it starts going back down again because of the pressure of all the fish swimming down. And then they have that famous saying from the movie, "Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming." They swim and they swim. They yell, "Keep swimming! Keep swimming!" And they make it to the ocean floor. And the pulley that was trying to pull against them into the boat breaks. The net is released and they are free. Something I want to ask tonight in thinking about that is, what if they had not kept swimming? What would have happened if they didn't keep swimming? Well, it's a pretty easy answer, isn't it? What would have happened if some of the fish in that net said, "Well, I know there's this big net around me, but I'm still in the water. As long as I'm in the water, I'm just going to just sit here." They would have been pulled into the boat. A scary reality sometimes is that Satan's got us in a net too. We're in a net too. And we have a decision to make. Are we going to persevere and just keep swimming? Are we going to keep going, pressing on toward God to that goal? Or are we going to let Him pull us into His boat? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if your Bibles are not already there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul starts by describing the net that he and his fellow soldier of the cross, Timothy, were in at that time. The times that they were in, they were living in, that they were about to be living in. And then we see an example of someone who perseveres and someone who does not. And the consequence of the person who perseveres and what happens to the person that does not. So the first thing we read about is itchy ears and worldly people. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Paul says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And listen to this. Here's the net that they're in. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, before we start talking about this net, let's look at the first couple of verses. Something I want us to be clear on tonight is that Paul was talking to someone who was already a Christian. Timothy had been baptized, and Paul was very instrumental in his growth in Christ. And Timothy did not earn his salvation by swimming as hard as he could against Satan's net. That's not how he was saved. But what I want us to see from the scripture is that he could have forfeited that salvation had he not endured the afflictions that Satan was throwing at him. Paul starts in verse 1, and he charges him to preach the word in season and out of season. Now, Timothy was a preacher, but not all of us are. Most of us in this room are never going to be a pulpit preacher, and that is perfectly fine. But we are expected to be Christians. And Paul tells Timothy, preach the word when people want to hear it and when people don't want to hear it. In the same way, we should be a Christian when people want us to be and when they do not want us to be. When people expect us to do the right thing and when people expect us to do the wrong thing, be a Christian. When it is allowed to be a Christian, when it is not allowed to be a Christian, God still expects us to be faithful to Him. Are we going to do that? That's a scary thing to think about, that it might be not allowed to be a Christian one day. And I hope that's a very long time, if it ever is. But we've got to be willing to stick with God no matter what. And so kind of the groundwork here before we start talking about endurance is that no matter what Satan's throwing at us, we're going to stick with God. No matter what happens in this life, we're going to stick with God, because we've made that decision to start with, to be with Him. With that in mind, let's keep going in this passage. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's coming a time when people aren't going to listen to what's the truth. And guess what? That time came. And that time is still here today. Very much so. It's interesting to think about what people will preach. People will preach anything. People will preach almost anything you can come up with. I was reading something in the past few days, and I read that there was a certain preacher who said, if you give me $500,000, I will raise Kobe Bryant from the dead. Now think about that. He can't do that even if he has the $500,000. People will preach anything. And unfortunately, sometimes people will even come into the Church of Christ and preach anything. So what do we do about that? Well, let's be like the church at Berea in Acts 17. Starting in verse 10, it says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Let's be looking at the scriptures to find out whether these things are so. And that is a wonderful tool to have against that net that Satan is using to pull us. Because that net includes things that are false. And he'll try to tell us little lies that will lead us away from God. And it might only seem like a small thing, but he's pulling really hard on that net. But the Bible is going to help us to endure and to go against that. Next, Paul gives Timothy four tools to help him swim against the net that Satan had around him. He says, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. And fulfill your ministry. It's one thing to just say, you need to be swimming against the current. You need to be swimming against the net that Satan has around us. But how do we do that? What do we do in order to swim against that net? Well, these tools are some things that can help us. First, he says, be watchful. I was reminded of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45 and following, when Jesus gives the parable of the wise and foolish servant. And he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we watch, then we're going to be trying to live in a way that Jesus will be pleased with when he comes back. But if we're not watching and say, it's going to be a long time, he's not coming yet, I'm just going to sit here and fill in the blank with sin. Because if he's not coming back, well, I'll just do this and then I'll ask for forgiveness later before he comes and then I'll be ready to go. But that's not an attitude of watching. An attitude of watching is, I want to be ready at any moment for Jesus to return. And what a wonderful way that is to go against that net that Satan has on us. What a wonderful way to swim against the net that is. The second thing Paul tells Timothy to do is to endure afflictions. Now we've already talked about this a little bit, and that's kind of the overarching thing. But think about this, what Peter says in 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 14. He says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Something for us to remember as Satan has his net over us and is trying to pull us up into his boat is that even though we are suffering afflictions, if we suffer as a Christian, we are blessed. If we suffer as a Christian, we are very blessed and we should not be ashamed, but we should glorify God in that. And when the world sees us in affliction, in hard times, still glorifying God, they may be looking at us to say, what have they got that I need? Isn't that a great way to bring them into our fold? Speaking of that, the next thing Paul says is do the work of an evangelist. The Great Commission. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Don't we need more people that's to be swimming with us against Satan? Don't we need more people to help us in that battle? Don't we need to have more people out of that boat and in the net with us swimming against Satan? There are a lot of people who are in that boat. There are a lot of people that need to be gotten out of there. And for Timothy to really fulfill his ministry, for Timothy to really be swimming against what Satan wanted for him, he was going to be bringing more people to God, bringing more people out of that boat. The last thing he says is fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry to the very end. Those fish in Finding Nemo who were swimming in that net got all the way to the ocean floor. They finished their job all the way to the end. With that in mind, we should also be doing that. We need to fulfill our ministry, our service to God that we have, all the way to the end. You don't have to be a pulpit minister to be a minister. You just need to be a Christian. And we all have a service to serve God with. Let's fulfill that all the way to the end. Paul says in Galatians 6, 7 through 10, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And listen to this. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul says, don't become weary in doing good. It gets tiresome sometimes. There were times Paul was probably so tired he wanted to quit, but he knew he couldn't. There are only times as Christians that we're so tired and we do not want to keep going. But we cannot stop. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Why? Because in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we lose heart, we won't reap. But if we do not lose heart, then we will reap that everlasting life that comes after a life lived for God. So what happens if we endure like Paul? Let's keep reading in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting in verse 6, Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. A Jewish offering that involved the pouring of a drink, obviously. If you're pouring something, it doesn't take very long, does it? If you had a 5-gallon bucket and put it under the faucet in your bathtub and turned it on, it might take a couple minutes for that to fill up. But you can pour it out in a couple seconds, right? Something that is in the process of being poured out does not have very long left. It's a pretty quick process. Paul says, that's where I am. I'm being poured out. I don't have very long left. The time of my departure is at hand. Now, most of us have never been there. Most of us have never been able to say with certainty or conviction, I'm about to die. I'm about to leave this earth. I'm about to be in the eternal state. But Paul was able to say that at that time of his life. And when we get to that time of our life where we're able to say, my time is almost up, and we look back on our life, what are we going to be able to say about it? Are we going to be able to say, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I kept the faith? Or are we going to say, it got too hard for me, I gave up. I saw the net that was around me and it was just too much to swim against. I just couldn't do it anymore. I just decided to do it my way. I just wanted to be like the rest of the world. What will you be able to say when that day comes? If we endure like Paul, listen to what he says in verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. If we endure like Paul, we will get the same reward that Paul got, that crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to us. He said, not only me, but all who have loved his appearing. That includes us. Are we ready? And are we enduring like Paul? Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 24. He says, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. The net was weighing down on Paul very, very heavily. It was pulling him so hard, trying to get him to go into Satan's boat. Satan was working so hard to try to get Paul off track because he was one of Satan's worst enemies. And remember, if we go through that kind of trial, it could mean we're one of Satan's worst enemies too. In fact, let's be his worst enemy. Let's be the kind of person that he wants to get in that boat so bad. But with that, let's endure like Paul. That even though he had all those things going against him, even though he had all those hard times in his life, he kept swimming. He kept swimming against that net. He never gave up. There was never a point in his life where he decided, I'm not going to do this anymore. Because he knew he had that greater reward ahead of him. But he also knew someone, and he was also close with someone who did not keep going and who gave up. Demas. Starting in verse 9, 2 Timothy 4, Paul says to Timothy, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Questions for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Yet Mark, I'm bringing with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Then he goes on to say in verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Paul loved Demas. He did not want this to be charged against him, but he was so sad and upset and disappointed that he gave up. Demas gave up. What happens if we give up? Paul says that if we endure, we get that crown of righteousness. And I believe you can follow what happens if we don't endure. But why would Demas do that? Why would he give up? He was another helper in Paul's journey, and he was bringing people to Christ. Why would he stop doing that? Because he loved the world. He loved this present world. This was a place that he was more in love with than heaven. He was more enamored with the things that the world can provide than what God can provide. And so Demas gave up. He was probably experiencing some of the things that Paul was also experiencing. I imagine him also being beaten, ridiculed, tortured, being hungry, victimized, and in danger. And he just looks around at what his life has become and says, if I could just be like the rest of the world, I would not have to worry about this anymore. And so he does what too many people have done. He walks away from God in order to be like the rest of the world. Christians cannot look like the rest of the world. Christians cannot be like the rest of the world, because being like the rest of the world is stopping our swimming in that net, and we will be pulled into Satan's boat, and we will forfeit our eternal life if we decide we are going to be like the rest of this world. He gave up. A desire to be like the rest of the world is one of the most destructive things a Christian can have. One of the most destructive desires possible for a Christian. Remember the rulers mentioned in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, being Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And listen to this. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. How often are we able to say that about ourselves? How often are we able to say, I just want to please other people, and I hope that pleases God too? How often do we love the praise of men more than the praise of God? Or what men can offer more than what God can offer? Does that describe you? Do we love the praise of men more than the praise of God? Have we set up an idol to the world in our hearts without realizing it? The Jewish leaders didn't realize it. They had decided to serve God the way that others had told them to, instead of what God in the flesh had stood there, literally in the flesh, and said to them. A desire to be like the rest of the world will never make us better Christians, and it will always hurt our relationship with God, and it will always hurt God. And if our desire to be like the rest of the world causes us to give up like Demas, then we will receive the same reward that the rest of the world will get. We'll get that same reward, eternal punishment. But if we endure, we get that crown of life. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39 says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And we have that decision to make. Are we going to be the ones that draw back to perdition, or are we going to be the ones that believe to the saving of our soul and endure to the end? We have need of endurance. Don't quit. Don't quit. It doesn't matter how hard your life gets. There's a better one coming. Don't quit and lose it. Don't quit. Don't give up. To end tonight, I just want to say three statements. One is a question. First thing, is the net pulling you in, or are you swimming against it? Satan's going after every single one of us. Are you swimming against his net? Second thing, notice that the net would have pulled in just one fish, but when they all worked together, they helped each other not be pulled in. We need each other. We need each other's help to make it, because we cannot do this alone. And please, keep swimming. Maybe tonight you've been trying to go it alone and swim alone, and you need the encouragement of others to help you in that effort. Maybe tonight you haven't been swimming. Maybe tonight that net is about to pull you into Satan's boat and you are about to be lost. Make that change tonight. It's time to make that change tonight. And tonight, if you've never been baptized, then you can't even swim yet. Allow Jesus to come into your heart. Allow Him to make a change in your life. Repent from your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And live that life that Jesus has in store for you. We have eternal life waiting for us. And praise be to God that we have that opportunity. If you have any need tonight, please come as we stand and sing.